Hi there, and welcome to the 5th Annual Transforming Toddlerhood Conference. I'm so happy you're here with us today. I'm your host, Devin Kunzman, toddler expert and the founder of Transforming Toddlerhood. I'm on a mission to dispel the myth that toddlerhood is terrible and empower parents and caregivers to really overcome the challenges of toddlerhood, nurture their child's development, and create confidence in their parenting skills. And that's exactly what we're here to do today. So today we are talking about why toddlers hit and how to respond. And I'm your host of the conference, and I'm the host of this session. I'm going to be talking to you all about toddlers and hitting. So hitting is one of the biggest challenges that comes along with the toddler years. Like, I can't even tell you how many DMs I get and emails I get. I even have an email that I just responded to this morning in my inbox about toddler hitting. It's a very common behavior and a very common challenge in the toddler years. And it's also really triggering. And what I mean by that is it's a type of behavior that can really ruffle our feathers and really just upset us, right? It's upsetting. We can find ourselves getting stressed, getting frustrated, reacting, because oftentimes hitting sends us into a stress response into a stress response, into that, you know, emergency response mode, fight, flight, or freeze. And so it's very common for that to happen. And so let's say your toddler hits you, or you see your toddler hit another child or person. I think because there is this potential for someone to be hurt, because hitting hurts, right? It doesn't feel great, that it really, we perceive it, our brains perceive it as a threat. And then we end up going into the stress response. And when we go down into our lower brain, into the stress response, we start reacting. And then the more we react, the more toddlers react. And then it just becomes a big ball of emotions kind of riding around on this emotional roller coaster. So today we're really going to talk about why toddlers hit. We're going to talk about some common traps that we fall into with hitting, some things to avoid in terms of responding, and why. We're going to talk about how toddlers learn not to hit. And I'm going to share my action plan, my framework for hitting, so you can make your own action plan. And we're going to go through two common scenarios that toddlers hit. And then we'll also talk a little bit about a common challenge that I see come up a lot, that I get DMs about all the time. And we'll talk about preventing hitting. So if that sounds good, join me for the rest of this talk. So the thing is, before we can understand why toddlers hit, we have to understand more about their development. So the thing is that we have to understand more about their brains, the toddler's brain, and just in general, what's happening in development. So I'm not sure if you know this, but toddlerhood is a critical developmental period, especially for brain development. 90% of brain growth happens in the first 5 years of life. So that means by the time your child's five, 90%, their brain is going to be 90% of the size that it will be as an adult. That's crazy. Even something that's more shocking to me is the fact that in the first 3 years of life, more than a million neural pathways and connections are being formed per second in your toddler's brain. So we're born with all the neurons already in our brains, but it's this time of development where these neurons are connecting and creating neural pathways. And the more that a toddler uses the same neural pathways or has experiences that activate the same neural pathways, those pathways become stronger. And then the pathways that aren't activated as much through experiences and the things that a toddler does, then they kind of prune away and they diminish. And so this is a little bit about how the brain architecture is formed in the early years. Also, there's the prefrontal cortex. So this is like the upper part of the brain, kind of toward the front here. This is the part of the brain that's responsible for so many higher level brain functions that we really want to see toddlers have and sometimes expect toddlers to have, which is like logical thinking, planning, impulse control, regulation of emotions and behavior, the empathy in terms of like really being able to put yourself in someone else's shoes. So the thing is that this part of the brain doesn't really start to develop or mature at a more rapid pace until 3.5 to 4 years old. It's not the exact time, same time for every child. However, around 3.5 to 4 years old, you'll see a shift in your toddler's development where they're starting to have a little bit more capacity for some of these more complex skills, especially impulse control and emotional regulation and behavior regulation. Now, this doesn't mean that all of a sudden your four-year-old wakes up and they're able to control themselves. No, but what it means is that they're at a really great spot in development where we can really help them cultivate those skills, even though we're going to help them cultivate those skills when they're younger, because those are all the building blocks that help them develop. Yet around 3.5 and 4 years old, you'll notice basically a greater capacity for most kids to be able to work on these skills. So what this means, these three facts about brain development, what this means is that your toddler's developmental drive and their feelings and emotions and needs and desires are often stronger than their level of impulse control and their ability to regulate themselves. So, developmental drive, you might be wondering what I mean by that. So if you haven't heard this term before, what I mean by developmental drive is really the innate developmental needs that a toddler has that really impact and drive their behavior. So for toddlers, I mean, first of all, there's kind of like basic needs that we all have that can impact behavior, right? And same for toddlers. We all have the need to have a sense of belonging, to have connection, to feel loved. We also have basic needs like the need to eat, the need to sleep, the need to feel warm and safe. So these basic needs definitely drive toddler behavior, meaning if your toddler is tired or hungry or, you know, just not really feeling connected to you or something like this, it can really impact their behavior. So then we have to look at the developmental drive or the needs that are really pronounced or specific to the toddler years. And these needs are the need to experiment and explore, which is really what most of toddler behavior is doing. Toddlers are like little scientists. They're experimenting and exploring so they learn how the world works. And they learn what it means to be themselves, to be an individual. So some other needs are to have a sense of control, to feel powerful, and to feel capable. So these are like five basic developmental needs of toddlerhood that really drive their behavior. I would say a sixth one is the need to feel independent or exert their will or to be their own person. So experimentation is really important when we're talking about hitting. Young toddlers, you know, between 1 and 2 years old, typically experiment with hitting at some point. They've never done it before. And then somewhere, you know, between 1 and 2 years old, they try it out. And it can catch us by surprise because we're like, my cute, cuddly baby. They're hitting me. What's going on here? Or maybe they hit another child or a sibling. You're like, whoa, what's happening? But it's really normal because toddlers are experimenting with limits. They're experimenting with our reactions to see how the world, including the people in it, react to them in this type of behavior. They're experimenting with their bodies to see what their bodies are capable of. And how their bodies work. So this is what leads to that experimentation of hitting between 1 to 2 years old. Then the thing is, though, that for some kiddos, it can just become a preferred method of communication. And that just happens sometimes. Sometimes also it becomes a preferred method of communication when it's reinforced. So we can reinforce it lots of different ways, but maybe by like having a big reaction to it. So toddlers are like getting some form of connection from it, even if it's not necessarily positive, but they're getting a reaction and that's interesting. So they want to see more of that and that like connection. Or sometimes just labeling it, like labeling a child as like being bad or some other type of like negative label that we might put on a child when they hit, then children can start identifying with these labels and internalizing them. So then identifying with them, and then it ends up reinforcing the behavior and we see more of the behavior that fits within that label. So those are a couple ways that can be reinforced. Another way is like just giving in or giving a child what they want. So if a child just starts to notice that if you say no or set a limit and then they hit you and then you backtrack on the limit and let them do originally like what they wanted or the thing that you said no to, then toddlers learn, oh, this is an effective way to meet my needs, to meet my desires, to get the things that I want. They become very strategic because a lot of toddler behavior is just spending a lot of time figuring out how to get their needs met, either those basic needs or those developmental needs, because they don't have the verbal skills to be able to communicate it to us always. And sometimes the way that they communicate, we don't actually realize it's communication. And so we miss what a child is trying to communicate, especially when they're really young. Other times, like it can become a preferred method of communication because toddlers just like really aren't taught other skills. But the thing is, when we're teaching other skills, it takes a lot of time and a lot of practice for kids to learn these skills. That's why we want to start young. But again, the thing to remember is that all behavior is communication, and that's how communication gets missed because kids aren't necessarily using words. Toddlers are not using words at this stage to be able to communicate, or maybe like older toddlers are using words, but they're still not able to accurately describe what's happening on the inside and communicate it to us. So they use behaviors. So even hitting is a form of communication. It's a signal really asking us to tune into what's happening on the inside for the child. What's happening? What are the feelings, emotions, needs, desires? And the needs, are they developmental needs, those core needs? What is the child trying to communicate to us? So, really, when we're thinking about behavior as communication, we need to understand that it's very common for toddlers and young children to use behaviors like hitting, throwing, biting, scratching, kicking, crying, screaming to communicate their feelings, emotions, needs, and desires. And the younger a child is, the more they're going to rely on these behaviors because they lack expressive language skills. So language happens in lots of different stages, but there's two main types of skills that I tend to focus on in my work. Receptive language skills, which is a toddler being able to understand what we're saying and like understand simple directions and things that we're saying. It's receptive language. And then expressive language, which is them being able to communicate what's happening for them, their thoughts, feelings, emotions on the inside, communicating them out to us and expressing them verbally. So the thing is that receptive language forms before expressive language. So toddlers are just not going to have those expressive language skills to tell us what's going on. So you might be thinking, okay, well, what about my 3 or 4 year old, these older toddlers? They definitely are talking. They're talking up a storm. They're telling me so many things, but they're still using these behaviors. Typically, what I notice is around 3 to 4 years old, you'll see a reduction in these big behaviors, even though they'll still happen, but they typically reduce and sometimes they get placed with verbal communication. But verbal communication that maybe we feel like isn't quite appropriate or maybe doesn't quite express what they're feeling, the thoughts, feelings, emotions, needs on the inside. So what they might say instead is something like, you're a mean mommy, or you're not my friend, or I don't like you, or something like this. If you have an older toddler and you're listening to this, my guess is you've heard some type of communication like this. The thing is that they don't actually mean these words literally. What they're trying to say is, I'm upset because you said no, or I'm having a hard time coping and I need help. Something like this. But toddlers still, even with expressive language skills, don't necessarily have the tools to go on the inside and say, I'm feeling upset. And I feel like I can't control myself right now, or I'm feeling upset and I need you to understand. Like, they can't say these things. So they say something that they know we're going to understand or get. But typically we're thinking, okay, this is like bad. They're being rude, disrespectful when they use these words. Really, they're trying to communicate what's happening on the inside, but they still don't have the skills to communicate correctly. So all of this being said is that hitting and these other behaviors that are totally typical during the toddler years can still drive us nuts and just really be hard to navigate. And so knowing that these are developmentally appropriate ways of communicating, especially for very young toddlers, especially hitting, it's helpful, but it doesn't necessarily make it any easier to really respond. So I want to talk about a common trap that we fall into when thinking about hitting and what can kind of cause us to react instead of respond. So a common misconception or a common trap that we fall into with hitting is thinking hitting is bad. This is a bad behavior. And then when we hear bad behavior, we're like, bad behaviors need to be punished to make them stop. That's kind of the thought process we go through when we're looking at behavior through the lens of good and bad, through that binary lens. However, my invitation to you is to shift out of that common trap and to shift over to a more empowered lens, which is hitting is a form of communication. It's vital that we shift our lens because, again, when we relate to hitting as bad, then we're more likely to really focus on the behavior we're seeing on the surface, which is the hitting. And then we're going to try to control and manage it using punishments and things like this. However, if you relate to behavior as a form of communication, then you're opening the door to curiosity about what the child is trying to communicate underneath the behavior, at the root of the behavior. So then you can address the root, because when you address the root of the behavior, this is what shifts the behavior. Kids aren't doing this behavior, hitting and these other behaviors, because they're trying to be bad. They're doing this behavior because they're trying to tell you something about how they feel on the inside or a need that they're trying to communicate to you. So if we keep only responding to the behavior on the surface, then we're never really identifying the feelings and emotions or needs and meeting them or supporting them beneath the surface. So the behavior is going to continue and continue. So some things you might get curious about as you're observing this behavior or afterwards, you know, after it's happened, you're kind of reflecting back about hitting, or maybe you just hit pause in this video right now and you think about, well, what could this behavior be communicating? Think back to those core needs that I talked about at the beginning and those developmental needs. But you might think some things like, is this play date that seems like it's a lot of fun? Is it too overwhelming for my child? Or is this new environment overwhelming for my child? Maybe another child took something out of your child's hands when you weren't looking. And so now they're upset and they hit. Maybe your child's not feeling seen or heard and they're trying to get your attention so they can connect with you. Or maybe your child's upset about a limit that you set. So these are just some prompts or some ideas to kind of get you thinking, what could be happening on the inside underneath that behavior that my child could be trying to communicate? So just to further underscore this lens shift and why we want to really avoid looking at behavior through this binary lens of good and bad. Because when we look at it through this binary lens, we're going to immediately jump to bad. And we're going to think that hitting means something like my child's being bad or rude or disrespectful or mean, or my child's being a bully or acting out. These are the labels that we start placing on the behavior. However, these labels are just interpretations. There are reactions to the behavior. They're interpretations based on our beliefs about the behavior, about our past experience, what our past experiences have taught us about the behavior, about the way we were raised taught us about this behavior, and really about our feelings and emotions that we have stored up about behaviors like hitting. So it really just disempowers us to look at it through this good, bad lens, because we can totally miss the communication that's happening. So we just want to remember, well, what are some things that hitting means? If it doesn't mean, if we're not looking at it as like, oh, this is good, which no one's ever said hitting, you know, very rarely we're going to say, okay, hitting's good. But so we're going to jump to the bad and like think it's bad, rude, disrespectful. So instead, I invite you to shift out of that binary good, bad lens and look at, okay, well, what does hitting really mean? Here are some things it means. It means that your child is experiencing some big emotions or has some unmet needs, and they're not able to regulate themselves, because remember, your toddler with their prefrontal cortex not being very mature, they're going to lack impulse control and regulation skills. Also, hitting can mean that they're unable to verbally express their feelings, emotions, and needs to you. It could mean that they're emotionally overwhelmed, like there's just way too many big emotions, or that they're sensorily overwhelmed, that maybe there's a sensory sensitivity and that they're just overwhelmed by like the amount of noise, the amount of people. There's lots of different things that can be sensory triggers as well for hitting. Your child just might be lacking that impulse control. They might also just be making a bid for connection because they don't feel seen or heard, or they're just not feeling super connected to you in that moment. And all toddlers, all children are going to be looking to feel connected to their safe and secure base. And by safe and secure base, I mean their primary caregivers, their parents, the people that they count on for that emotional support. We are their safe and secure base. So as much as a child, a toddler wants to be independent and explore and experiment their independence, just as much they still need us to be their safe and secure base to come back to emotionally recharge and feel connected to that safe place. So these are some things that hitting can really mean. So I'd love for you to just take a moment and think about some scenarios where your child hit recently. Can you kind of get to the bottom of what could this hitting be communicating? What could this hitting actually mean if I drop these good, bad labels? If I drop the labels of like bad, disrespectful, rude, being a bully, these types of things, what might I see if I cleared the way to take a deeper look? So next, I want to talk about some things that we want to avoid when we respond to hitting. So we're going to talk about what to avoid, and then we're going to talk about what to do. So there's several things that we want to think about avoiding. And listen, we're all going to do these things from time to time. And if you do it, it doesn't mean you're a bad parent or you're failing your child. What I'm pointing out in the things that we want to avoid is that these ways of responding or reacting are actually less effective. So I'm pointing out things to avoid because they're less effective ways of responding to hitting. So the first thing is using judgment. So this might sound like, that's not nice. Stop being so mean. So you hear we're looking at the behavior through the good, bad binary lens, the lens we want to shift out of. And I just want to underscore that this type of behavior, any behavior, has nothing to do with a child being good or bad or nice or mean. It has to do with them trying to communicate in the best way they know how in that moment. And yes, it might be an inappropriate way of communicating. And yes, they might need to learn other skills and other ways to communicate. However, it has nothing to do with them innately being good or bad or nice or mean. You might also want to avoid some big reactions. So big reactions can look like, ow, you're hurting me, something like that. Now, yes, hitting can hurt for sure. I am not discounting how badly hitting can hurt, or scratching, or having your hair pulled by your toddler, something like this. It definitely hurts. However, when we have these big reactions, it's super disconcerting for toddlers, because the thing is that they have the need to have a sense of control and to feel powerful. But to be powerful enough to hurt an adult, to hurt their primary caregivers, to hurt their safe and secure base, can be really scary and unsettling for a toddler. And so it can further dysregulate them, because it can bring up even more big emotions and further dysregulate them. So that's why these big reactions aren't super effective. Another thing is using guilt. So guilt might sound like, oh, you hurt mommy. Don't you love me? Because again, your toddler's behavior has nothing to do with whether they love you or not. It's actually not about you. It's about them trying to communicate and not having the skills to communicate in a way that we feel is appropriate. Something else we want to try to avoid that's not very effective is shame. Shame might sound like, why would you do that? I already told you not to. Why won't you listen? Now, a lot of times shame, these type of words, are really just come out of our own frustration, because it can just sometimes parenting toddlers can just be downright grueling, where you're just feeling like, oh my gosh, I feel like a broken record. We keep going over this, the same behavior keeps happening, and then you get frustrated. And then sometimes shame accidentally comes from that place. So again, it's not about you being a good or bad parent, whether or not you're doing these things that I'm talking about avoiding. What I'm pointing out are the things that are less effective to do, and also calling you in to just start to notice, in what moments am I bringing judgment or guilt or shame into my responses? Because we just want to notice. If we're not aware, then it's really hard to create something different and shift it. So awareness is, I always say awareness is the first step in creating change. So we have to create awareness. So this is just an opportunity to really create awareness and to start to notice your communication patterns when you're faced with challenging behavior. When you go, your common communication pattern when you go into that stress response, when you perceive your child's behavior as a threat and your brain goes into that emergency response mode, that survival mode. So some other things we want to avoid that aren't very effective would be fear or threats, kind of like, stop that right now, or you're going to, you know, not have ice cream tonight, or I'm going to take away the tablet or something like this, or punishments. Like if you hit me one more time, then, you know, again, like you're going to go to your room or something like this, or just saying, oh, you hit me. Now you need to go to your room or go to timeout and think about this. Which is, you know, so these types of like fears, threats, punishments, timeouts, they're not super effective. Why? Because we're only addressing the behavior on the surface. We're using conventional parenting paradigm and to control and manage the behavior. And we're only looking at the behavior on the surface, not what's driving the behavior, not what's at the root, not what's your toddler's trying to communicate. So this is why these aren't very effective, because guess what? If you're using fear and like dominance and compliance to try to make your toddler listen, then you're setting them up to really only respond or have a certain behavior when there's some outside force trying to make them have it. And guess what? You're not always going to be there beside your toddler to quote unquote keep them in line. So this is not super supportive. What we want to do is get to the root of the behavior, help them process their feelings and emotions, help them learn new skills, help meet their needs. These are the things that are going to really shift the behavior. So a couple more things we want to avoid is making a child responsible for someone else's feelings. And this might sound like, you make me sad when you hit me. Again, we think that this is going to like appeal to them, like using like this type of logic. But again, toddlers aren't hitting because they're like trying to be mean to us. They are trying to communicate something. So when we make them responsible for our feelings, first of all, we're not taking ownership over our own feelings. And we're making kids responsible for things that they really aren't responsible for. And it's like too much for their little brains to compute and take on. And so I don't recommend doing this, especially as a parenting tool. And withholding connection. Sometimes we just think like, you know, if you hit me again, then I'm going to leave, or I won't read you stories before bed. But actually, children need us. They need us to help regulate their feelings and emotions. They need our support. And so whenever we threaten like to withhold connection, we're taking away their safe and secure base. So let me tell you a little bit more about what I mean by this. So toddlers need the support of their parents and caregivers to regulate their emotions. This happens through a process called co-regulation. And so when we yell or shame or use punishments or withhold connection, we cut off the possibility of co-regulation because our toddlers are not connected to us. So in case you're wondering this, what co-regulation is, this might be a new term. And if it is, that's so exciting because it's a really important term to know when it comes to positive parenting. So co-regulation is this warm, responsive interaction that provides support and coaching and modeling that children need to really be able to understand and express and regulate their thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. So what we mean by this is that children need us, this safe and secure base, to model what it looks like to be regulated. They need us to support them with their big emotions. They need us to coach them through situations by teaching them new skills so they can learn how to appropriately and properly understand their own feelings and emotions and express them in a way that is supportive for everyone. So co-regulation really leads to this ability to self-regulate. And self-regulation is like this conscious control of our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. And guess what? A lot of adults are still struggling with this. And I struggle with this sometimes. We're all human beings and we're never going to have 100% self-regulation, even as adults, even though our brains are fully mature, fully developed. And that's okay. We're allowed to be human beings. But what we want to do is work on our own coping skills. Positive coping skills, our own calming skills, our own grounding skills. So we are able to calm and ground ourselves. So then we're able to be that available, safe, and secure base for our toddlers to connect with them and to share our calm through co-regulation. So this is a practice. It's not going to be perfect. No, there's not one parent that does this perfectly. But it's a practice and it's something that we can start small and start incorporating into our parenting and into our lives and practice these skills because practice makes progress. And that's how we learn new skills. And that's exactly how your toddler learns new skills as well. And it's okay for you to learn alongside your toddler. So I just want to pause and I want to reiterate, if you have done any of the things that I talked about on the avoid list, the things to avoid when hitting, this does not make you a bad parent. This does not mean you're failing your child. It does not mean that you're doing a bad job. What it means is that you might be relying on skills that are not very effective. So this is an opportunity to notice which skills you're using that aren't effective and to start adopting some new skills that can be more effective. So I want to be super clear. I've kind of alluded to it in a couple of different moments, but I want to be super clear about what how toddlers learn not to hit, basically. So using these things like shame, blame, fear, guilt, guilt and judgment and punishment, they don't really teach a toddler how not to hit. Now, for some kids, when we use these tools, the behavior gets worse because we're not addressing the root and they're getting even bigger emotions and more dysregulated behavior. Now, some kids' behavior might get better, but it comes at the expense of their emotional well-being and the parent-child relationship. Because when we use discipline from the conventional parenting paradigm that's based on using control and compliance to get a child to listen, you're really using that fear and intimidation to make a child respect us. In the moment, we might see the behavior stop, but it doesn't change the behavior long term. Or what it does is that it leaves a child emotionally stranded and breaks down the parent-child relationship because children aren't able to connect to their safe and secure base. And so it might teach children to kind of push down their feelings and emotions, might teach children to be people pleasers, to put everyone else's needs before their own. So this is why we want to shift to a more positive parenting paradigm. So is what actually shifts behavior and supports development in the parent-child relationship is addressing the root of the behavior, setting limits and following through, and teaching skills. So this connection, setting limits and following through, and teaching skills. This is what I call the recipe for effective discipline. Discipline is about teaching self-control. And for children to learn self-control, they've got to learn the skills, the building blocks. They've got to see it modeled. And what they need is that emotional regulation. So us to co-regulate with them to support their feelings and emotions and to soothe those feelings and emotions and help them process them. So they can then regulate their behavior because big emotions create big behavior. So we have to soothe the emotions to reduce the behavior. That's part of it, but we also need to set limits and teach skills. So it's really just an invitation to just go beneath the behavior and get curious. Curiosity is really one of our best friends when it comes to working with young children. Curiosity is such an important tool there. And when we shift out of that binary lens of good and bad, it opens some space to get curious about the behavior when we say, what is this behavior communicating? All right. So now we're going to go into the action plan. How are we going to respond to this behavior? So I typically say, you know, there's a recipe for effective discipline that's three steps, but I like to add on a fourth step to kind of prepare us for prepare us for the other three steps. So the first step, the one that I like to add on, is called establish safety. So we're going to establish physical safety, which means that we're going to take away the threat, whether it's an actual threat or a perceived threat. So we're going to try to reduce the hitting in that moment. So then we can create the emotional safety, which is to remind ourselves that this is not an emergency because everyone's safe. So we have to establish the physical safety to be able to tell ourselves everyone's safe and disrupt that stress response. To disrupt that emergency response mode, so then we can start to regulate ourselves and get calm, so then we can respond intentionally. And this takes time. But here's the thing, as long as your child's safe and you're safe and the hitting's not continuing, it's okay to take 5, even 10 minutes to really get grounded and to regulate yourself before addressing the behavior. Because the most important thing is really focusing on the relationship and the connection and the setting limits and the teaching skills. And that's really hard to do when we're in a stress response. So that's why I like to add this pre-step of establishing safety, the physical safety, so we can establish the emotional safety. Next is connection. And there's lots of ways we can create connection. There is that physical connection, like getting down in their level, maybe putting like a hand gently on their arm or their shoulder, something like this, making eye contact, There's ways of creating emotional connection, like narrating or observing, describing what's happening, getting curious, validating a child's feelings and emotions by saying like, oh, repeating back what you hear them say, like, oh, you feel or you want. So that's what validation sounds like. Then we want to set limits and follow through on that unsafe behavior. And we want to stay neutral when we do this. We want to keep it super neutral, like how we might talk about something that doesn't have any emotional charge to it, like the sky is blue. There's a wall beside me, you know, very neutral like that. And you want to keep following through until your child's able to follow through. And I'll explain a little bit more about what that looks like. And then you want to find a way forward, which usually is meaning teaching some type of skill. So this happens once your toddler is calm. When they're calm and their needs are met, you can teach them skills, other ways to communicate, and then practice those skills. The thing is that for some kids, you can do this after they're calm, after the challenging behaviors happen, but it's important to practice new skills outside of the heat of the moment. It's also, in the calm moments, and it's also important to practice like the connection too. So things like, especially this is for like really good for like kids that are two and up, saying something like, you're upset earlier when we turned off, Bluey and, you hit me. How are you feeling? So we want to create that social emotional awareness, really support kids in cultivating those social emotional skills. We might talk about, well, what can we do next time to make this better? How can we make this better so everyone's safe when we turn off the show? So then we're going to work on some problem solving skills. We're going to work on maybe some calming skills. This is a great time to work on taking deep breaths or, you know, pretending there's like a candle and blowing out the candle. So it's just a great time to practice because we have to practice the skills in the calm moments for children to be able to learn them and be able to use them in the challenging moments. And it takes time. It can take, you know, a year of skill building. But the thing is that we're teaching them skills for life. We're helping them wire their brains for life in a way that's going to be super supportive for their development. So I want to go through a couple of scenarios, common scenarios with hitting, and kind of go through this framework and this action plan to show you really what it looks like in action. So the first one we're going to do is, let's say your child hits you. So we want to establish safety. So you might say something like, I won't let you hit. And then say your toddler hits again. You're like, oh, okay. I said, I won't let you hit, but they still hit me. So you've got to follow through. So this might look like if you're holding your child, setting them down or backing away from them, or like putting a pillow or a cushion in between you and your child. So the pillow or the cushion absorbs the hit. So now at that point, you can tell yourself this is not an emergency and focus on one or two calming strategies that are kind of like your go-to calming strategies to help you calm down. And if you don't know what those are, practice some different ones. This might be deep breaths, might be sitting down and closing your eyes, might be going to the window and opening it and breathing some fresh air. It could look like doing some EFT tapping type of thing. It might be smelling some essential oils. There's so many different tools that we can use. So it's about finding some that work for yourself. Then from there, you want to say, you want to create that connection. So you want to get to the root of the behavior. That's what creating connections for, is to address the root. So you might say something like, well, I said no, and you hit me. I wonder if you're feeling mad. So see, we did the observe and describe, that narration. And then we got curious. I wonder if you're feeling mad. Or you might say, what are you trying to tell me? And then see if your toddler says something and, you know, validate it. Repeat back what they say and validate it. You can validate their feelings and emotions without condoning the behavior. Then the next step is setting the limit. And it might be something like, well, it's okay to feel upset. Or like, say you were like, cause you said no, you know, or set a limit. It's okay to be upset. Or say that you were like, maybe you have a baby and a toddler and you were maybe changing the baby's diaper or feeding them and your toddler comes up and hits you. So in this case, a toddler is hitting, you know, if they hit whenever there's a limit, they might be more out of frustration. But when they hit in this scenario of like, when you're doing something with a new sibling, they're probably trying to create a bid for connection because they're not feeling connected right now. And they're wondering, am I seen? Am I heard? Am I loved? Am I still important? Even though this baby's here. So in that case, whenever you set the limit, you might say something like, it's okay to want mommy's attention and I won't let you hit me. Hitting's unsafe. And then you want to find a way forward and teach skills. So if your toddler is just a really young toddler and experimenting, you might just redirect the behavior like, oh, you can touch my arm like this. For an older toddler, you might say, next time you're feeling upset, what's another way you can show me or tell me without hitting me? So you can maybe practice the words like, I feel angry. Or you might show them another way that they can express that behavior in a physical way that's safe. Like maybe you have like some very lightly filled bean bags that they could like throw into a basket, or you have like some wadded up paper they can throw, or they can like, you know, hit the pillow or something like that. Now, I'm not saying they want to do a replacement behavior forever, but sometimes toddlers need a physical way to express themselves that's safe before they can, before they have all the skills to like do it verbally. But you still want to practice it verbally as well, or to practice those calming skills like taking deep breaths and some belly breaths or blowing out the candles. But again, it takes time for them to learn these. In the scenario with the baby, where they hit, you might say, next time you want mommy's attention, how can you get my attention? And again, you work on a way for them to get your attention. It might be like saying, excuse me, mama, or it might be like them like tapping your leg, or who knows, you have to come up with something and then practice it. Practice the new skill with your toddler so they start learning it. Now, practicing it once or twice doesn't mean your toddler is going to be able to do it the next time. But the goal is if you respond consistently every time and, you know, or most of the time, because consistent doesn't mean every time, it means more often than not, it's predictable that you'll respond in a specific way. So if you respond consistently and consistently work on the same skill, they're going to learn. And you'll be so surprised and so excited when they learn. So again, it's just so important to get curious about what's driving the behavior, what's driving the hitting. So next we're going to talk about another scenario. So this is a scenario where your child hits another child. So it's super tempting to just kind of run in because, you know, you might be in this reaction mode, this emergency response mode. And so it's really tempting to run in and be the judge and jury, or to label the kid who hit is bad, or to only help the child that's crying. And it's normal for this to happen because it triggers our stress response. And these might be ingrained ways of responding, which is what was modeled to us when we were younger. So I invite you to shift those responses to something more effective. So following the framework, we want to establish safety. So you want to separate the kiddos and make sure everyone's safe to stop the hitting. And you want to check on both kids to make sure they're okay. Because guess what? The kid who hit is probably not physically hurt, but he might be emotionally, he or she might be emotionally hurt. So you just want to just make sure that both kids are physically and emotionally okay. Just check on them, say, are you okay? And provide comfort and reassurance to help everyone get regulated, including yourself in this moment. And then we launch into the recipe for effective discipline. So you can create connection. You might get curious and say, what happened here? And if both kids have the expressive language skills, then let them both say what happened. If not, then you know, try to get them to say what happened. And if the one who has the skills doesn't quite, you might just say, I wonder if, you know, and then try to the best of your ability, say what happened. Or perhaps you saw what happened. So then you just say like, oh, she took the toy and you hit her, something like that. And then you might say, well, how did that feel? Something like that. Okay. So then you're going to set limits and say, it's okay to be upset and it's not okay to hit. So again, we can validate the feelings and emotions and still set the limit on unsafe behavior. Then we're going to find a way forward and problem solve. So it might look like, what can we do next time? Might also look like making amends. Like, how can we help her feel better? You know, something like that. How can we make sure she's okay? You know, if someone, one child hit the other person. So we just want to make amends. Or if one child took the other toy, we want to work through that. So again, there's just ample opportunity to teach problem solving skills and social emotional skills that are going to help kiddos identify their emotions and eventually regulate their emotions and their behavior. So one thing I want to talk about quickly before we go is a common challenge that comes up all the time. I get comments on my Instagram posts all the time about this, which is basically my toddler hit me and then was laughing. So the thing is there's this big myth going around that when this happens, that your toddler is laughing because they think it's funny. They think it's funny to hit, funny to hurt you, or they like to cause other people pain, or that they're just being disrespectful. This is not true. What's really happening, the fact is that your toddler is laughing because he or she feels out of control and is experiencing big emotions like fear and anxiety. Like, laughter is one of the ways that toddlers release feelings of fear. So that laughter is basically an automatic reaction when they're in the lower brain, when they're in their stress response, in that emergency response mode. It's an automatic reaction to feeling overwhelmed and out of control and just having too much power in the moment. So again, we just want to keep this in mind when responding. And so instead of saying things like stop laughing or that's not funny or you're hurting me, you might just say something like, you might observe and describe and say, you hit me and I see you smiling. What's going on? Something like that. Or you might just say, what are you trying to tell me? Or I wonder if you feel uncomfortable because you hit me. So again, it's just understanding that this isn't something your toddler is doing to you. So don't take it personally. It's them having an automatic reaction to feeling that feeling of fear and that feeling of overwhelm and feeling out of control. So that's something really important to keep in mind when this behavior happens. Before we wrap up, I just want to share two quick ways to think about starting to prevent hitting. So this isn't an exhaustive like list or ways to prevent hitting, but I really want you to know a couple of ways to kind of get you started. So the first thing to do is to point out the positive. So if your child doesn't hit in a moment that they normally would hit, you might just narrate what happened and say like, oh, I see you told me you were mad instead of hitting me or something like that. Thank you for telling me. That's really helpful. Look at how, or you might say like, look at how much self-control you have. So you want to point out when your child uses and has that self-control. And especially whenever you notice it, that's going to motivate them to have more of it. So that's why we want to point out the behavior, behaviors that we want to see. Now, say that your toddler put their hand back like this and they were going to hit, but they decided not to. A lot of parents I've talked to still are in that emergency response mode when that happens and get really frustrated. What I'd like to point out is that this is actually your toddler showing self-control. Now, maybe it's not perfect. Maybe it's not as perfect as just sitting there and explaining or telling you in an appropriate way what they're feeling or what their needs are. However, it's huge because they could have hit, they thought they were going to hit, they felt angry enough or out of control enough to hit, but they didn't. So you want to point that behavior out. It's a huge victory. It's a huge stepping stone on the way to stopping hitting. So it might, you might say something like, you were so frustrated, you wanted to hit, you know, if they already identified they were frustrated. So we don't want to put words in their mouth, but if they've already identified they're frustrated, or you might just say, wow, you were about to hit, you were about to hit me and you didn't. That shows a lot of self-control. So we just want to point it out. And when we're excited about things like that, kids are going to get excited about that. And they're going to try to do it more. The other thing is to know what the triggers are for your child to hit. And the best way to get to know what the triggers are, or to look for patterns in the hitting so you can start to see what the triggers are, is to track it. So you can just make a simple behavior tracker. You might have like the date, the time, what was happening right before the behavior, how you responded, and like how it was resolved, something like that. And so you can start tracking basically when it's happening and try to get to why it's happening, and also tracking your responses and seeing how your responses are received by your child. So just creating a tracker, whether you do it just in the notes section of your phone or you create a piece of paper you fill out, can be really helpful. And I always suggest tracking the behavior for 1 to 2 weeks, depending on how often it's happening, so you can get a good bit of data to start to look for the patterns and the triggers. So as we wrap up, I just want to say that toddlers do not hit because they're being mean or want to hurt people. They hit when they're overwhelmed with big feelings and emotions, or with their sensory system, and that these big feelings and emotions and this overwhelm is stronger than their ability to control their impulses and regulate their emotions and behavior. So it is a gap in their skills. And so it's our job to support them in learning the skills that they need to overcome it. And so remember, we do this through the connection and getting to the root of the behavior, the setting the limits on unsafe behavior, and teaching skills. So thank you so much for being here today. And I just want to thank everyone for being a part of the conference. And if you have questions, thoughts, feedback, I would love to hear it, especially about this session right now. And of course, about the conference in general. For the conference in general, I'm going to be sending out a survey at the end of the conference so you can give me all of your feedback. If you want to ask questions specific to this session, then join the discussion thread in the Transforming Toddlerhood Facebook group, where you can put your questions and comments there about this session, about hitting. And also, I just want to remind you, if you haven't done so already, please purchase the premium package so you can have access to all of the bonuses, and including downloadable audio and a really fun Q&A call with me. And also, so you can watch this session and all the other sessions again and again and share it with your parenting partner. And I just want to thank everyone who has already upgraded to the premium package. It's by no means required. However, for those who are able to upgrade, what you're doing is you're saying yes to this event and you're supporting this event so I can continue to create more events like this in the future. So thank you everyone for being here. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedules to really invest in yourself and in your parenting. I just want to say that I see you and I'm here cheering you on, and I can't wait to support you further. Okay, see you soon. Bye.